All right, so last week we looked at the necessity of salvation. It's important, it's something we expect from God, it's something that we need from God, but But this week we are going to, as we celebrate Christmas, we are going to look at the perfect gift given by God to all people. So before we get started in that, let us pray. Bow your heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this day that you have given us, for this time of year that we are able to celebrate your Son's birth here on earth, that ushered in the plan of salvation for us and actually kicked it into gear. The plan was made long ago, but it started to be fulfilled with Jesus' birth here on earth. Lord, we are thankful for that. We are thankful for what you continue to do for us throughout our lives and for every person who has come to you. Lord, we are thankful for each and every one of them. And we ask a special prayer on those who have rejected this gift that you have given, that they may accept it before it is too late, Lord. Lord, as we go into this time of Bible study, in your word, digging into your word and looking at what you want us to know, I ask you to open our hearts and minds that we can receive it, and not only receive it, but that we can actually put it into action into our own lives. We ask you to watch over the meeting that is conducted in a manner that brings honor and glory to you. And we ask all of this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm done now. Okay. So today is Christmas Eve, right? Everybody's all excited Christmas Eve. But this is a bittersweet time for many people. There's a lot of fond memories of Christmas past. Christmas is where we've got to spend time with people who are no longer with us, like Kathy was talking about a little earlier. Their memories make us happy, but they also kind of make us sad because we do miss them. It'd be great if you could go back and celebrate with them one more time. You know, this is why it's important that you live your life in a way that people know you are a Christian, that you have shared your faith with your family, so that when you die, they can have that glorious hope of seeing you again. It's a certainty. We call it a hope, but it's a certainty that you will see all of your loved ones who have passed away, who were saved. You will be reunited with them. It'll be an amazing reunion in heaven one day. Either when you get there through death, or the way times are going, you get there through the rapture. Either one will put us there. But it's important that people know, because it's really hard to think back on people who are no longer with us without any idea where they are, where they went. And then it's even harder when you think, did I really talk to them enough? Did I tell them about it enough? Or was I afraid of making them mad? Which would be worth more? Making them mad here on earth, but getting them to hear the gospel message, or making them sad for all eternity because you didn't? It's a lot of weight to carry. But it does make this time of year kind of bittersweet. And it's important that you take this gift that God has given us seriously. So, I have people missing in my family that I wish were there. I understand that I won't be able to see them again until I get to heaven. I believe they were saved. I believe I will be reunited with people. That'll be a great time. It'd be a great time to celebrate Jesus' birth in heaven. I wonder if we'll do that. What if we will? Because that's what gave us the plan of salvation. That's where it became, actually, where the rubber hit the road. That's where it was. Whoever meets the road is with Jesus' birth. It was a gift. It was a great gift. It was a perfect gift. Now think about perfect gifts for a minute. Have you ever racked your brain for the perfect gift for somebody? Or you just saw something and you immediately knew, man, this is the perfect gift. When I give this person is going to absolutely love it. There is no doubt in my mind, I can't wait to give it to them. And then you go home and then you debate, do I really want to wait till Christmas Day or their birthday or whatever day you gave it to them on? Or do I just want to go ahead and give it to them because I'm excited to give this gift to somebody? Anybody ever had a gift like that? All right. Anybody ever had the gift where you wanted it so bad that somebody else found it for you and said, I just know this is going to make their day. Everybody else's gifts will be nothing compared to the gift I'm about to bring. But think about that. Have you ever received that gift? That gift that kept you awake at night so much that you just wanted it so bad. And if you were able to fall asleep getting close to Christmas, you dreamed about having the gift. As a child, you dreamed about playing with whatever toy it was you couldn't live without. And then, luckily, somebody comes along with the perfect gift, right? The perfect gift. You love it. They love giving it to you. Everything is great. But every gift requires something from the giver. Every gift does. Now, it could be money. It could be effort. It could be time. Or it could be all three. But you give, every time you give something, you give a part of yourself with it. Something further went with it. There's a story about a missionary teacher who loved seashells. And one weekend, after school, one of her students decided to walk to the beach, 20 miles away. And he walks to the beach. He gets there. He finds the most beautiful seashell he can find, and he walks back. He gets back. Basically, enough time to go to sleep and get ready for school the next morning. He comes in the next morning, Monday morning, with that seashell. He spent all weekend walking, and he gives it to the teacher. And this is the most beautiful seashell she's ever seen. She's tickled to death with this thing. This is the perfect gift. And then it dawns on her. There's no beach around here. Where did this poor child get this seashell? So he asked her. Or she asked him, and she says, "What happened? How did you come up with a seashell like this?" And he said, "I walked to the ocean, I picked it up for you." And she said, "Well, that's 20 miles both ways." And he said, "I know, the walk is part of the gift." Mm-hmm. Effort, time, giving of yourself. That's what it's about. Being able to set aside what you want for the betterment of others. That's what makes the perfect gift. That's what it really is. Let's talk about this a minute. Let's talk about that other side of the coin. When you have given the perfect gift and the person doesn't like it. Somebody else brought a more perfect gift. And as perfect as your gift was, it's not the most perfect gift under the sun or under the tree. They suddenly like something else. If you have small children, you know, sometimes the box is more important than the present that came in it. They like boxes and they like the wrapping paper. They like all that kind of stuff. But how does it make you feel, though, when somebody takes your great gift and you're going to go, "Oh, wow, thank you"? How does that make you feel? You spent a lot of time and effort. You thought about them. You thought about the gift you should give them. You came up with what you thought was the perfect plan, and they don't like it. And what do you do? Do you just walk around and say, "Well, if you don't like it, I'll just take it back. Thank you"? Wouldn't it be nice if you could pull that one off? John told me that today. But it would be kind of interesting if we could just take it back. But we can't. We can't. We've given it. Once you've given something away, it's gone. It belongs to them. I had a friend whose house burned down, and he was at my apartment. This was years ago. And he said, "Boy, that 410 rifle or shotgun looks just like the one my dad gave me, my first one." And I said, "Well, you can have it." And he said, "Well, I can't take your shotgun." And I said, "Yeah, you can't. Go ahead and take it." It's just a shotgun to me. To him, it was a reminder of the very first shotgun he ever received. Every time I see him, even to this day, and that's been a long time ago, every now and then he'll say, "Do you want to come by and get your shotgun back?" And I say, "Steve, it's your shotgun. I gave it to you a long time ago." I said, "I'll tell you the truth. Everything else that was hanging on that rack, I can't remember what they were or where they even went to. But I know where one of them is, and it makes me happy to know that you had it." That's the truth. But it was just a random gift that meant a whole lot more to him than did me hanging on the wall. Just a great little gift to give. And he likes that gift, and he'll pass it down eventually, and he'll tell the story. It's really not the one I got first, but it's just like it. And he'll pass it down to his kids one day. Seems like a pretty perfect gift, but what if he hadn't liked that? What if I found out that he took it out and leaned it against the wood pile, or the wood pile, and left it out there all winter long? How would that make me feel? I mean, it's worth more than that to me. I wouldn't let it rust on the wood pile. I'd leave it hang on the wall. But if it means something to him, I'd give it. Give it away part of yourself, hoping people will appreciate the gifts you have given. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about what can I have, what can I get, who can bring me more gifts. That being said, my office is down there on the left. I'm just kidding. Don't do that. But, you know, people should appreciate. When they don't appreciate, One thing you could do is you could talk to God. You can say, God, you know, my feelings are hurt. You could take it like I said, but you could talk to God. And God understands your feelings being hurt because people reject the gift. He gave the perfect gift. The most perfect gift of all time. He understands. That's the good thing about talking to God. He understands what you're feeling, what you're going through. The difference between God and you when you give a gift people don't like, God knew it. God knew, I'm going to give this gift, and the majority of the people are going to reject it. That's what's going to happen. That's what's in Jesus' day, didn't go well for Jesus. It's really not much better today as far as percentages go. Very small percentage of people. Because then you have those who said, oh man, that's a great gift. And the only time they get it out is if you're coming to visit. Oh yeah, hold that going. Here comes Aunt Mary or whatever her name is, and I need to put out that gravy boat that she bought us. So let's go find the gravy boat, wherever it is. Gotta show we appreciate it. Some people treat their gifts that way. God understands this rejection. He understood. Over 2,000 years ago when he sent his son, that people would reject him. The record of his birth is Luke 2, verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So that's part of that bigger passage we read every year at Christmas time. It's about how they wound up in Bethlehem and Jesus was born there. It's the reason we celebrate Christmas. And we celebrate it by giving gifts because this was the perfect gift. But before we go out or go any further into this, I do need to remind you of one thing or point something out for you. God is one in three. We call it the Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Together they are one. We don't quite understand this concept. We can't really explain this concept. But that does what that means is that when God sent his Son to be born on earth to die as our substitution for our sins, he gave a part of himself. He just didn't send Jesus out by himself to do all the heavy lifting because he's Jesus also. He's the Holy Spirit also. He's all three. So not only did he sacrifice his Son for us, he sacrificed a part of himself for us. So he didn't just sit back in heaven and take it easy. He was an active participant in everything that was going on. This plan of redemption was worked out well in advance of the earth being created. Ephesians 1:4 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus chose humans to be redeemed. Before he laid that foundation, that first foundational stone, he had already worked out. As the Trinity, he had worked out the plan of salvation. God is omniscient, which means he is all-knowing. So he knew before creation that mankind would fail, that mankind would break their covenant with him and break their communication with him and their communion with him. And he was going to put a way in place to fix that. The reason he picked the time he did is at that point in time, Israel was basically the crossroads of the world. If you look at where Israel is located, a lot of the trade routes crossed right through Israel. So by being in Israel, he was able to talk to people from all across the world. Missionaries, early missionaries were not sent. Early prophets of God never left Israel. It wasn't until Jonah they finally started leaving Israel because the world had grown. But he picked this particular moment in time. He picked a particular young woman to be the mother, the earthly mother of Jesus, to be the vessel through which Jesus came into the world. The most perfect gift ever. And the response of the people, at least the majority of them, is found in John 1. It starts in verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. God knew that was going to happen. Can you all imagine that? How would you like to give a gift to everybody and find out 3/4 of the people don't like it or don't even want it? Worse yet, not only are they going to dislike your gift, they're going to deny it was even a gift from you because they're going to deny you exist. That's pretty tough. You've had somebody not like your gift and set it aside. How'd you like them to start telling people that you never even gave them a gift because you don't exist? God knew it. God knew it was going to happen. They did not know him, nor did they receive him. There's no difference there. Receive means to accept. Know means to at least acknowledge. They didn't even acknowledge him. They did not. God's still sinning. There are many people today who are going straight to hell because they have not accepted this perfect gift. In essence, they have actually rejected it. Rejection does not have to be outright rejection. It just has to be a refusal to accept when it comes to the gift of God. So, why did God do this? Why would he bother? David asked the question one time of God. He said, what is man that you're concerned about? That's a good question. Why is God concerned? Why does God care about us? What is the issue at hand here that is actually playing out all over the world? So, answer is found in John 3:16. I used this verse, I think, last week. And it's an important verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. He loved everybody. He loved the people of the world. His love is what made him give this gift that he knew was going to be rejected by the majority. He did it because he still loved those who would accept it enough to still do it. People have said through the years, and I believe it's true, if only one person would have came to redemption through the birth and death of Jesus, God still would have sent Jesus. Even for one. He loves us that much. We expect God to save us. That's what we expect. As Christians, we expect him to save us. And a lot of people don't. The perfect gift has been given. All we need to do is accept it. That's all we need to do. We just need to accept it. But you know what? The gift, one reason this is a perfect gift is this gift didn't stop with acceptance of Jesus as the Lord of your life. It did not stop there. It continues. This thing just continues on. In verse 12 of John 1, verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Accepting the gift makes you a child of the King. So you accept the gift, you become a child of the King, not just any old king, but the King, the King of kings, the King of all kings, the King who created everything. He is Lord of all. That's the God we serve, Lord of all. So are you a child of the King? Think about it. If you are, do you live like it? Do you live like a child of the King? Because you should. And as I say, it keeps on giving. So first you accept him, you become a child. He adopts you into his family. Your penalty for sin has been paid. Jesus paid your death sentence on the cross so God could accept you into his family as one of his own. That's the gift. You accept him, you're in the family. But then it goes on a little bit further. The Holy Spirit comes along. And the Holy Spirit will indwell you. And that Holy Spirit, as it's indwelling you, the job of the Holy Spirit is to guide you and to direct you, to try to get you to be a better Christian. It's his job to make sure you are doing the right thing. If you are not doing the right thing because you have free will, then at least you know you're doing the wrong thing. So hopefully it'll bother you so much it won't come back that way. One of the things, and I mentioned this in a sermon once before, Disney denies it now, but they used to talk about how Jiminy Cricket, the conscience of Pinocchio, was given the name, so the initials were JC, standing for Jesus Christ. That was back when Disney was not so woke and they actually believed in Christian values in the American way. Not so much today. But that's what you get. Child of the King, you get a helper. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. Now, the Holy Spirit's not going to interfere with your free will. So your own free will, our own stupidity, is going to cause us to do things we don't like. Or we wouldn't really want to do, but sometimes we give in to temptation. God doesn't want us to do it. But this gift is still giving. Jesus takes the place of our intercessor, and he's our intermediary, and he is our advocate before God. So when something happens, Jesus is standing there saying, I get it. I understand why Pat messed up. Don't strike him with a lightning bolt. Give him a stay of execution. He'll do better next time. Let's keep working on him. I'm not done yet. Give me time. That's what Jesus is doing. So from the moment you get saved, you're adopted into the family. The Holy Spirit becomes your guide, walks with you everywhere you go. Jesus is in heaven interceding on your behalf every day, every time Satan points you out. And believe me, you haven't done anything wrong that Satan has not championed in heaven. He wants to make sure God knows what's going on in your life. But there's one final step to that gift. Eternal life with your Creator. You will spend eternity in the presence of God, and you will learn every day and become more and more and more convinced of the truth that you accepted here on earth. Think about what a glorious time that will be. Think about how wonderful it will be to be able to walk up to Jesus and give him a hug for the gift of his sacrifice. Wouldn't that be amazing? Or to talk to God and thank him for the gift of his son. Amazing times. Or thank the Holy Spirit. Maybe even badger him a little bit about the times you didn't scream loud enough in your ear. But just be able to talk to them, to see them, to be part of that. That's the gift. This gift starts at the moment of salvation and it continues for all eternity. It is the absolutely most perfect gift ever given. And the majority of the world rejects it. They don't want it. As Christians, which means we have accepted, which means we are a Christ follower, we have accepted this perfect gift God has sent us. Yet sometimes we live our life like we didn't. We live our life according to our own rules. Like a parent wanting to be a friend with a child, we are more concerned with being people's friends than we are with being their missionary. We need to tell people. Can't help it if it makes them mad. Can't help if it embarrasses us. Can't help if we lose something because of it, like a friend or even a job. We need to be telling people about this gift that God gave by sending his son. They already celebrate it. It's already called Christmas. They've done their best to make that an X. And they say that that has nothing to do with removing Christ from Christmas. I find it hard to believe that you could even say that with a straight face. They want to remove Christ from Christmas because every year, people who aren't even Christians hear the Christmas story, not the one they hear on TBS all day long about the shoot dry out kid, BB gun story, but that one, the Christmas story found in Luke. They hear it every year. Some people go to church with family members who go to church all the time. They get to hear it. I saw a little meme one time on social media. It said, don't worry, if you feel like coming to church, we'll put out poinsettias and Easter lilies both so you feel right at home. Because that's about the only two times a year some people show up. Easter lilies or poinsettias are sitting up front. People don't come to church if you don't invite them. Not everybody who invites going to come to church either, so that's not an absolute for you, but they'll never come if you don't ask them to come. One of the biggest problems with salesmen, one of the biggest things they teach salesmen, I'm going to give you all a little key about how to be an effective salesman. Ask for the order. You'd be surprised how many salesmen don't. They'll spend a good hour telling you how great that new siding is going to look on your house and all those replacement windows, and then they just shut up. They don't ask. And people say, well, I'll get back to you. That's what happens with salvation. If you do not ask, you'll never get a yes. You got to go through a lot of no's to get a yes, but the yeses are worth it. So be sure to keep working on that. The story that is found in Luke 2, we will focus on that tonight. Tonight in our Christmas Eve service. But I did open up with how Christmas is a bittersweet time for many of us, but have you ever wondered if it's a bittersweet time for God? Think about it. He sent his son to die, and people didn't care. So that's kind of a bittersweet time. I'm sure that he is joyous, and all of heaven is joyous over the lives that have come to Christ, that have been redeemed through that sacrifice, through the gift God has given us. But I also wonder, sometimes God doesn't feel a little sad. I'm not trying to make him into a human. But I'm curious how he feels about this whole thing, because the overall effect was definitely good. The going through everything Jesus had to go through the last few years of his life was not good. Watching your son cannot be good. Watching him suffer and be beaten and cussed and rejected and all the stuff he did to Jesus cannot be good. So was it bittersweet for God? And you know what I find interesting is the prophecy was that our Savior would be born in this little town of Bethlehem. The problem is David and Mary did not live in Bethlehem. How many of y'all would like to go take a trip to deliver a baby? I've got an idea. Let me just go a couple hundred miles away while I'm pregnant on a donkey. No, probably not going to happen. Most people aren't going to make that choice. But it happened because of a pagan ruler, Caesar Augustus, who believed himself to be God. You talk about a man living in defiance of God, Caesar Augustus is one of them. And God used him to make sure that David and Mary went all the way back to Bethlehem to deliver Jesus, because the prophecy was he's delivered in Bethlehem. Think about the spiritual victory that was won there. I would love to see what Satan thought when Caesar Augustus gave the decree. Oh my goodness, he's probably telling him, shut up. Shut up, shut up, shut up. They're going to have the baby born somewhere else. Please shut up. Do not bring him back to Bethlehem. That's how God works. God's will is going to happen. God's will, his permissive will, is for all of us to be saved. But his divine will, if it was his divine will, it would happen. But it's not. He gave us free choice. He gave us the right to accept his gift or to reject his gift. The gift that was actually part of him. He had skin in this game. His gift was a completion of a great work that started before the foundation of the earth, but it cost him dearly. It cost him. How do we treat that gift? This next week in particular, I want you to think about this perfect gift God has given. Have you received it? That's the biggest question. Have you received it? If you have not received it, you have to do that before it's too late. You have to do that. There's no doubt. Receive it. But once you have received it, I want you to think about it. How has it changed your life for the better? How has it changed your life for the better? A lot of us, when we first get saved, we're either so excited we can't wait to tell everybody, or we seem aggravated that we can't go back to our own lifestyle. Which way did it affect you? It should have been you're so excited you just can't wait to tell everybody. You can't wait to start calling people and telling people what happened to you. Satan wants you to focus on the life that you can't lead anymore, the life that leads to destruction and eternity in hell. That's what he wants you to look at. He doesn't want you to look at the end of that path. He just wants you to look at all the physical fun you can have between now and then, because he wants you to suffer with him. So what has this perfect gift, if you have received it, what has it enabled you to do? What are you doing now that you were not doing before? And since New Year's is coming up, I want you all to think about what you are doing that you could be doing better. Where is there room for improvement in your walk? And then let's be sure to remember the reason why we give gifts to one another at this time is to show ourselves worthy and to commemorate the gift God has given us. A couple things you can take away. With each gift you give away a part of yourself. Before he laid the foundation for this world, the Trinity worked out the plan of salvation for every one of us. And then the last one. First, you become a child of the King. Then the Holy Spirit indwells you for guidance. Jesus intercedes on your behalf in heaven. And then it all culminates in an eternity with the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the gift of your Son, the most perfect gift ever given. Lord, we are just asking your help in making sure that we focus on that when we give gifts this year, that it's about showing people your love through our actions, Lord. Lord, and help us live a life that points people to you at all times. Don't let anything come between us. Don't let us put anything else first. Lord, help us to be laser focused on this gift and showing the world the importance of it. Give us the courage to tell others about it and to ask them to receive you and to come to church. Lord, we are thankful for all you are doing for us. And we ask you to continue to watch over us and keep us safe through this holiday season as we celebrate your Son's birth. And we ask all this in your Son's precious name. Amen.